So why don't we pray together? Thank you so much, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst, for your reality, for the series that we've been doing. And we just pray, Lord God, that today our lives would be changed, that we would be different because we were here today. In the awesome name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. How many of you know this young man personally, Prince Destin? Who's seen the movie? Prince of Persia, Sands of Time. What a guy. I mean, for one, he's almost as good looking as I am. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's one plus in you. He's this little orphan boy who gets the attention of the king one day and is able to bring about such a change in that city and in that nation that bloodshed is averted. I want you to turn to someone next to you, and I want you to think about who for you is the most amazing person and why. Okay? So turn to someone who is a really amazing person, and why would you say that? This is no ordinary device. Hit the button next to the green light, and time will change and rewind. We are involved in this whole time traveler series, right? So we are able to move back time. If you think of last week, we came across the horror of sin and just how devastating that is. If you even rewind a bit further, we'd see that we were created to please God, to reflect God. Further back, we saw that God wasn't created, but he was great and good all the time. And today we're going to see the wonder of Jesus. But I jump ahead. You see, we saw in week one that there was a perfect man, right? Perfect man. Everyone would have wanted to marry Adam. Never woke up grumpy. His breath didn't smell in the morning. And his beard didn't grow if he didn't want it to grow. He was perfect man. The man in the next chapter was kind of a little bit fallen, right? He had flaws and weaknesses and problems. He didn't stand up and do his thing. And we're talking generic here, whether it was female or male. But a new man would come onto the scene in the fullness of time. And that new man would be version 2.0. All the glitches removed, recreated, reconnected, and unique like you cannot believe. Can I prove to you that this new man was going to be unique? Firstly, this man existed from all eternity. He wasn't made. He was always around. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So all we know at the moment is that he is the Word, the spoken Word. God spoke, and creation came. Jesus brought about creation. I want to tell you that he's so unique that he appeared before his birth on a number of occasions. He was the one who stopped the Abraham from slaughtering his son because the angel of the Lord appeared. This angel would receive worship. This angel came and wrestled with Jacob the whole night, touched his hip. So Jacob walked with a little bit of a hip-hop swagger for the rest of his life. He took worship from people, which no angel would do, the angel of the Lord. He appeared to Moses from within a burning bush one day and had this like whole conversation with him. He appeared one day and he met Joshua even, at that point that they were going to go into battle, and he stood there with a drawn sword in his hand and he said, "Take off your sandals because the place where you're standing is holy ground." He fed Elijah when Elijah was needy and hiding away in a cave. He came and met him. This was no ordinary person. This was no normal kind of angel. He stood one time in a furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said, "Looks like someone like the Son of Man is standing with them." And they were amazed because this was a really hot furnace. You know what it's like when your mate's been smoking and you get home, your mom says, "Why have you been smoking?" "No, it's my friend." "Well, what was your friend like putting the smoke in your mouth?" "No, it's just my clothes," right? There was no smell of smoke on the day that this guy stood in that furnace. He had a virgin birth. Now, we gloss over this sometimes, but the idea of a virgin birth is not really normal. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that none of you had a virgin birth. Not one of you. Now, it's a bit of a faith statement, but all of you, there was a man and a woman involved. And I learned this because I did biology very early on in school. There is no wind pollination when it comes to the human species. God has set it up very specifically. Now, I don't know how it happened. No, you do know how it happened. So don't ever use that excuse on your parents one day, you know? I had no idea. This was unique. This hasn't happened since. This will probably never, ever happen again. An angel comes and says to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Whoa. But like Joseph? No, it's got nothing really much to do with Joseph. He was a very loving dad, thank you very much, after the birth, but he had not much to do with it. In fact, he was such a great guy, he wanted just to get rid of her, send her out the back door and dismiss her and marry someone else who was more upright, someone who hadn't been sleeping around. She hadn't been sleeping around. It was the Holy Spirit of God. More about the Holy Spirit in a future time. This person, this new man, had a divine nature. You know that verse earlier, the Word became, you know, the Word was with God and the Word was God. That chapter goes on in John 1:14. It says that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. God moved into the neighborhood in the presence of this baby child, and this child was both fully God and fully man. Simultaneous. Same time. Divinity and humanity. All of God in Jesus, all of man. So don't use that excuse like, well, that's cool for Jesus because he was like fully God. Yeah, he was fully God, but he was fully man. And we'll see more about what that means. He had a supernatural entrance to his life and his ministry. He has this moment where a voice speaks at his baptism loud. It's not Pastor Ian Shippey saying, you are my son, if Trent's getting baptized. This is Jesus getting baptized, and a voice booms from heaven, this is my son whom I love, and I am well pleased with him. And by the way, listen to him, or I'll be upset with you all. That last bit is a little added. But the bit about listen to him, this is something unique. And while the people are looking, a dove flies down, circles down, settles on him, and people realize, wow, hold on. This is the Spirit of God descending on Jesus, signifying that this is the Holy One. This Jesus lived a righteous life. A righteous life. You know what a righteous man is? Everyone knows what it is. She's righteous. You know, he's righteous. Jesus actually kept every single detail of every law. He didn't break one law. Not once. Not one time did he do something wrong. In fact, the evil one tried to tempt him. And we read that we have a high priest who has been tempted in every way, yet was without sin. Just like you're tempted. I want to say like, oh, he's not like human. He doesn't live in South Africa. Tempted in every way, yet without sin. He lived a righteous life. He did amazing miracles. That word amazing doesn't seem adequate to describe the kind of miracles. That adjective is a little bit too tame, don't you think? Can you give me a better one? He did spectacular miracles. He did phenomenal miracles. One time, he walks on water. Try that sometime. That's pretty awesome. One time, he gets up in a boat and he says, quiet down, please. I'm trying to rest. And the storm just goes. Try that sometimes. He just walks around healing people. One time, even one of his mates is like dead and buried for a couple days. He stands at the altar and says, yo, Lazarus, dude, time to come out. Let's party. Lazarus is like walking like this, like the Walking Dead zombie type stuff, except his eyes weren't white, like the zombie thing, waking the dead. He's like, cool, man. Can I have some food? Pretty hungry. You guys don't put any food in the tomb. What's up with that? Incredible miracles from the beginning of his life. In fact, is it the book of John that says, if all his miracles were recorded, there would be not enough books in all the world to contain his miracles. So it appears that we just have a little sprinkling of something of what Jesus did while he was on earth. He made some pretty startling claims. We might have to tweak that word startling. Things like, I, from now on, am the way, the truth, and the life. None of you come to God except through me. You would probably ask for men to come and take me away if I said that, wouldn't you? Like, and put my hands behind the back, that white suit type thing. I'm not talking about a tuxedo. Straight jacket. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. One time he says to someone, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. There's not a lot of people that can say that. Watch out for those men with the white suits, because they will take you away if you say that. He made so many startling, he says, in this is just the book of John, I am the door. I'm the door. I'm the doorway. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the door. Come, this is it. Come through me. I am the true vine. I am what God intended with the nation of Israel. I am the one who gives sustenance and nurture. I am the light of the world. I am the living bread. Eat of me, and you'll live forever. I am the good shepherd. God's the good shepherd. He was the shepherd of Israel in the Old Testament. I am the resurrection and the life. This is before he dies. It's not like after the fact, like, oh, look at me, I'm resurrected. Oh, I'm the resurrection and the life. No, this is before. He puts it out there. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Are you starting to feel like he might be a tad unique? You know what I mean? Like, just a little bit. He had epic victory. Epic victories. On many times, he met this dude with the horns. Many times. One time, he gets taken up onto the top of the temple, shown everything. I'll give this all to you. You just take a jump. And anyway, the angels will come and pick you up. Turn these stones into bread. You know? This is his epic victory, not just a battle. Sometimes men would be foaming at the mouth, filled with the demonic. Jesus would just say, go. See those pigs over there? You can have the pigs. And by the way, they're going to be jumping into the ocean in a few minutes' time. So enjoy the trip. Straight back to hell. Jesus battles in the Garden of Gethsemane against the evil one tempting him to say, you know what? Don't do the salvation thing. You know? And he says, not my will, but God's will be done. He had the most horrific death possibly that anyone has ever had to experience. I don't know if you've seen The Passion. It's not something that you're like, oh, I want to watch it again. You know what I mean? It's like a once-in-your-lifetime experience. We did it one Easter somewhere. We were on a farm somewhere as a family. It was like, we've done The Passion. That was absolutely horrific. Some of you haven't turned 35 to be able to actually watch it. He did not suffer just an ordinary death for himself. He did it to pay for the sins of all the world. This was a righteous one, a pure one who died for you and for me. You might think that was the end of the story, but it wasn't. He had a dramatic comeback. As Satan was parting, we beat that dude, man. High five, all the little demons. Woo-hoo, high five. He's dead and gone. He's buried. He's like, then they hear this countdown. 10, 9, 8. Hold on. What's going on here? 5. Whoa. Stop the bus. 4, 3, 2. Jesus is inside there. Everything's off. All those grave clothes are off. He emerges from that tomb, risen again on the third day, and shows himself. He says, look, put your hands in my side. Feel. Thomas is like, I think I believe now. I'm a believer. Believer. Sorry. That just slipped out. Incredible. Absolutely incredible to come back. But it doesn't even seem to stop there. He has a pretty unique departure from planet Earth. Because one day, while people are standing around, he's blessing them. Next minute, whoa, there's this music playing. And he just up, gone, ascended. In fact, it's celebrated on Wednesday this week, if I'm right. Ascension Day. Wednesday? Thursday? You can do it both days if you want. You probably aren't going to ascend. He was unique. He was unique. He has somewhat of an exalted position right now. He said this one time, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. He sits right now on a throne next to Father, at the right hand of the Father, the Bible says, and from there he intercedes and he pleads for you. From there he controls this world. He is unique. He is unique. He will make a somewhat triumphant return one day with the armies of heaven. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. It hasn't happened yet, but it's going to come. We're waiting for the day. We're looking ahead. Don't you think he's unique? Hold on. I think there might be a little twist in this tale, because there is something known as the new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Hang on. That kind of puts me in the Jesus camp for a while, doesn't it? You are a new creation. You see, God created something unique with Adam, but in Jesus, we are the new creation. I want to unpack that for a while and think back to Jesus' life and think what that means for my life. We are partakers of the divine nature. That means that you have a divine nature. If you've given your life to Jesus, you are not the same that you were before. Those of you last week who were really challenged by that message with either Stephen in the first or Corey in the second, many of you said, hey, that's me. Some of us have had that in different situations where we've said, I want to give my life to Christ. Something supernatural takes place the moment I give my life to Jesus Christ, where a new divine nature is birthed within me, the spiritual birth that takes place. Can you see how it's kind of an echo to what happened with Adam? There's another thing that happens. You can live a righteous life. Really? Me? But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. We become the righteousness of God in Christ. Do I have the potential to sin? Of course I do. But I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. That's how the New Testament addresses me. I can live a righteous life. Yeah, but hang on, Mark. That thing yesterday, that nose-picking thing, it's gone. God is like, what thing now? Remember you confessed that? I don't remember that. It's gone. It's but like, God, you must remember. I don't. I can't. I've chosen not to remember any sin you've committed. Because do you remember when Jesus died, he wasn't just doing it for himself. He was doing it for you. I want to suggest, thirdly, that you can do amazing miracles. In fact, that's what I read in John 14, that whoever believes in me, says Jesus, will do the works, hold on, works, miracles, supernatural acts I have been doing. That can't be right. Maybe I did it like a misprint. And they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father and from there I'm going to be working through you. I can do amazing miracles. You can do, say it with me, I can do amazing miracles. You don't believe it. I, Mina, not just Wena, Mina, can do amazing, unusual, humanly impossible, unique miracles, wonders, signs, and wonders, and signs, and wonders. You can do amazing things according to your faith. Be it unto you. Have faith. Believe that God wants to work through you, and you will. You can do amazing miracles. You can have epic victory. Because greater is he who's in you than he that is in the world. No matter what is out there, that evil one that thinks he's so tough is just a little mouse with a megaphone. He's this little pussy, like, but he's got this microphone. And he's like, and you're like, oh, the devil's so powerful. He's not. He's on a leash. He knows the end of the story. He knows he's defeated. And in the spiritual realm, he's already defeated already. He doesn't have to make you feel afraid. A guy comes at me with a knife one time, and I put my hand up, and he's drunk out of his mind. He's about to stab me. I put my hand up, and I say, in the name of Jesus, stop. He freezes in front of me, drops the knife, looks at me, and says, sorry, and slinks back into the shadows. I didn't have a knife with a hilt that I can go, turn back time. Jesus' power was much better than having to use some device to turn back time. You can have epic victory in your life because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Surely it can't get more than that, but you have an exalted position. Listen to what God has done. For he raised us up from the dead along with Christ, and we will be maybe one day, we are seated with him, with Christ, in the heavenly realms because we are one with him. You and me, together, one, forever, BBF, even BFF, Wena, Mina, one. We are united. And where do we sit now? Where are you sitting? You're not sitting in Parktown North. Yes, your physical body is sitting in Parktown North, but that's a very small part of you. The real you is seated where? In heaven. We are citizens of heaven. Are. No, will be, footy. Now. Citizens, I'm seated in heaven. You don't have to hang out with Pastor Andrew Gosman a lot to know that this is all he eats and sleeps and drinks. He'll tell you this if you missed this morning. You are not here. You're there, seated in heaven. You're already ruling and reigning with Christ. You have an exalted position. Not only Jesus sitting down, but because of what Jesus has done in the new birth, you are seated in heavenly places. So, what will it be? Fallen man or new man? Ball's in your court, kind of. Have you become a new creation? It's a one-time thing. You know, when I think back to that story, young Destin, the old Destin, he wasn't the king's son always. In fact, the movie starts when that little boy is in the marketplace and he gets knocked over by one of the soldiers' horses, and Destin's watching his friend about to get and getting beaten. He takes the apple that he's got in his hand, I think an apple, throws it at the guy, the soldier, and then this chase happens throughout the city. But the king is on a horse, and the king sees this boy getting away, eluding the soldiers. He sees something in that child, and he says to his family member, whatever, I want that boy. And the kid gets taken, put on the horse, taken to the palace. From that day on, the orphan becomes a prince, Prince Destin. He didn't begin his life as that. None of you began your life in this king's family because he doesn't have grandchildren, this King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He only has children. It means diddly squat that my mum and dad were Christian, except that it might have given me a head start to hear something of the word. But I'm not saved and a Christian because they are. I'm saved because at some moment of time, God spoke and my spirit responded and I received what Jesus had done for me. And I became part of his family. And you do that one time. Wouldn't it be stupid if Drew says to us, and he's our 8-year-old adopted boy, like 2 years' time, like, Dad, can you guys like adopt me again? I'm like, why? No, like I did this thing. I broke the computer. Like, dude, I'm going to thrash you, but I don't have to adopt you again. And I probably won't do that even. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, that's cool. Try not to break it again. You're a bit heavy. You only do that one time ever. But when you've done something wrong, all you do is you come back and say, Father, I'm sorry I've done that. And he says, like, dude, I've forgotten it already. Like, it's over. It's gone. Are you living like a new creation? You see, there's two things. It's a one-time thing where I give my life to Christ. I don't have to keep doing it. But I can choose to live like a new creation. He was surrounded by that wicked uncle on that side there, and maybe one or two other kind of distractions along the way. He had all the potential to go south, but he went north. Because you have a divine nature, you can live this new creation life. You can live a righteous life. You truly can. You can do amazing miracles. You can have epic victory. You can write a new book about epic victories. You can live from an exalted position, up there, seated, looking down. Kundwani was speaking at Greenside and Parktown in this last week or two, and he was saying, like, God has this vantage point where he sits up there, he sees what you're doing down there, and he's able to direct you and say, hey, go over there, do this or do that. He's got a vantage point. You have that exalted position. So, ball's in your court. You could be fallen man or new man. Young Destins, what will you be? Let's pray. Well, Lord, I sense that you're calling us up into something today that maybe we've tasted, we've seen hints of this, we've seen signs of this. And Lord, we've known about this Jesus story our whole lives, but maybe we didn't really connect the dots and see how it relates to us and how different we can be because we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And Lord, if I haven't done that, even now in this moment, I want to say, Lord, I accept what you did on the cross for me. I receive your free gift of eternal life. I repent of my sin. I turn away and I turn toward you. And one time you come and you say, I'm going to adopt you in my family. You are now one of my children. Thank you, Lord, for that miracle that can happen in the moment, as simple as that. But Lord, you've called us today to live the new creation life. I pray, Lord God, that we would be characterized as people who are unique and different, just like Jesus was. Let us believe, Lord, that we can do greater things, even if it were possible than what you've done. Let us live from a place where we see ourselves as seated with you in heavenly places. Let us, Lord, live this divine nature that's within us. Let us be done with the old man and see the new man. Fallen man, no more part of our lives. New man, that's what we want to be. Maybe this morning you just want to say, Lord, I want to step up. I want to take this challenge and I want to do this thing. I want to live like a new creation, like a new man. I want you to say in your heart, I'm done with the old. I'm done with that fallen man. I'm done with it. It hasn't really worked for me. It's not really yielding much fruit. I am going to live a new creation life from this day forward. And Lord, you hear that prayer. You hear the cry of our heart. And you will bring that into reality. We thank you, Lord, in the awesome name of Jesus. Amen.